And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. As always, we have lots of good information for you. There's a lot of things that are breaking. You know, I'll tell you, my next guest, Richard Grove, we've had him on a couple times last week, and I think we will have him on often until everything he knows is in our head, because everything he knows needs to be in our head. And he's, I remember when I was in my 30s, I'm 51 now, that everybody would say, young man, and I'm like, seriously? I mean, how old you got to be before you're not a young man anymore? Well, he's a young man. He's still in his 30s. But, if I had learned a lot by then, and certainly has he. There's hundreds of books that he's read, making the connections of the bad guys being bad and bad and bad, 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 bad. And I had started off right in the middle of this thing, in the late 80s, when they passed a law, and you hear me talk about it every now and then, I reference it so that you can go see it, read it, and it encapsulates what they're doing and how. They, them, those. The ones who won't leave us alone. Because it comes down to one thing. Let me tell you how easy this is. They want your goodies. I mean, everything that's good, that you produce. They want your property. Or at least, rent, lease off of it, property tax. They want your income. They want your wife's. They want everybody in the household incoming so that they can, make it outgoing to their pockets. They want to make sure that you're on their grid, you're using their energy, you're eating their food. If you're going to be having the livestock eat, you want them to eat from, the company store, 16 tons, and what do you get? You just keep getting older and deeper in debt. Now, this is what is so easy to understand. If you kind of got a bead on it, you go, I think I confirmed, and then you go on. My confirmation was this law, and it's called the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act of 1988, and it's about an inch thick, and you read that without having, late 80s, 89, I think I read that, and you don't ever have to know anything else. You see the result of it. Yours is ours. Thank you for playing. When 2008 crisis came and so on, I tell you, the first article I wrote for Lou Rockwell, I never even knew who he was, and I wrote this article, and he contacted me and he said, Ernie, can you spice this up a little bit, expand it a little bit, and, this concept, and I want to publish it on Lou Rockwell. Yeah, who's Lou Rockwell, I don't care, whatever. I did it and kind of send it off, and he goes, can you check the spelling, do a little grammar, take it seriously. We have, guys that, went to college and stuff, man, basically. And I'm like, okay, fine, man, I'm busy, man. I had a restaurant, I'm running, you're lucky I did that. So I go ahead and I'll spice it up a little bit, and had a friend of mine edit it for me, go over and make sure I spelled things. And I sent it to him, and what it was sell your house now. And it was December of 2002. Now, of course, if anybody took my advice, they'd been, really upset because it was another 5 years before it hit the peak. But my point was, is I go, look, and what they did, it was right after the .com, and they inflated the bubble again by going lower interest rates. But I saw what was coming. And I go, here they are just infusing. It's all pretend. It's all speculative. It's all, I'd gone through the savings and loan time at the same time the omnibus trade competitiveness thing was going on in the late 80s. The savings and loan thing was going on, had big impact, Keating 5, all that kind of stuff here in Arizona. I was right in the middle of it. And when that happened, I saw all the signs, you know, speculative investment here, took money from this, church that, parishioner this, city council, whatever. I am sitting, you know, as a businessman watching, you know, my local economy and, you know, what's happening in my delivery area at the very least. And I go, oh, I see it coming again. This, oh, I see where this goes. I know exactly what happens now. Well, they held it off a little bit, but man, it took a dump. And I go, yep, there she be. Well, how do you think that happens? There's always something behind it. But the goal is the same. Yours is theirs. When I met Richard Grove, and we started talking, we had a mutual supporter, listener, reader, whatever, they said, you know, you guys need to get together. And they were right. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, so it's easy for we're going to take up at least 2 hours. In the third hour, Sarah Sandy, it's about child protective services and the corruption and how they're like stealing children. Now, give me an excuse. I need, you know, especially a white baby. Give me a white baby. You know, we're going to put it in making somebody needs and they got money and you might as well just be in the feudal system. I mean, you know, this is because they can. And I'd done a couple of stories on this before. This woman contacted me while I was on the road this last month, really excited about coming on. And we finally got this set up because she had listened to another story that I'd done on someone from Utah, I think it was. And she's like, you know, a lot of the references that woman made to certain different, it was me. And she goes, oh, man, you need to, all right, let's do it. You know, so Richard, he goes, you know what? You need to know this wealth of information. So let's go ahead and bring him on and discuss what we're going to do. Richard, I got you there.
Good morning.
There you go. Okay, let's go and get a level. Okay. When I mentioned to Richard off air that what my beginning was is reading this law, and I could see what had been accomplished. I mean, it wasn't like they're going to, they're talking about it, they're, you know, whatever. They had done it. It was called, you know, you want to do trade outside the borders of hell, inside, everywhere. You know, the gang with the flag gets a cut. Fascism written into law. I understood it. I see it. I got it. Now what? My entire activist career has been on the now what? Everybody that I talk to that goes on about the past, they did, you know, these guys, bad. I'm going, yeah, blah, 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 blah. They're not gonna. They did. Okay? It is already done. It is here. The cake is baked. It's ready here. Force feeding. Done. Now what? Okay? Now what? So I get so frustrated. Everybody wants to examine it more. Now freaking what? But you need to have these people and do it in a concise, good, clear way for somebody to get caught up to speed. TragedyandHope.com. Richard Grove, if I look, the more I read his stuff, look at it, I'm going, man, if that isn't a walk through the, you know, graveyard, we know what's going on. But I'm still in now what? I'm like, yeah, I knew that 20 years ago. Now what? So I'm working on the now what. All the stuff you see us do is the now what. The Lovolution, the silver, the energy thing, it is the now what. Now, the thing is that he knew about this, and he sent me a document. And he goes, you need to not just look at this. You need to look at, you know, what was behind it. Who did it? We would learn a lot from that. So we're going to do that. And somebody that knows way more than me about the history of this legislation and what it really did and why and so on, I give you Richard Grove. Now he's on. We're going to go to break here in a little bit because I, you know, long introduction because we got 2 hours. We're going to get to it. As well make it, you know, Richard's there. Now, the thing is when we come back, I'm going to go straight to Richard. I'm going to, okay, the Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act was put in place at the end of the Reagan administration and administered by Daddy CIA Bush, okay? Right in the middle of this, I had the Japanese consulate for their economic blah, blah, blah. The West German was West German at the time still. All these guys saying, oh, do you want to know the truth? You can't handle the truth. Oh, yeah, I can. I found out lots of stuff. We'll be sharing when we come back. and you'll learn the truth.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest, Richard Grove. Okay, we're Skyping in. It's tragedyandhope.com. Now, let's go ahead and start right off, Richard. I got you there?
You do.
Okay, let's start right off with this. Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act, the impact it had on me is that I was doing research for my father's company exporting goodies to Europe, and I'm kind of, you know, aren't we supposed to be exporting Save America? I'm all patriotic. I'm like, yeah, we're going to do a Save America. We can do a Save America. And it became very, and I kept coming across this thing, and it's long story why, it doesn't matter. The point is that I saw important enough for me to read it, and it was so crystal clear to me what was happening. I haven't read this thing for 20 years, but I tell you, I read it once, and I'm going, wow, we just lost America. I can see where they are going. They're at it, the people behind it, the people that were doing it. We rule you. And I go, okay, now what? How'd they get away with this? How did this happen? That's what got me on election law. I could see how they insulated or removed themselves from us. They eliminated opposition, competition, dissent before it ever even got started. No one could talk about it. There wasn't the internet. It was just their media with their laws and their congressmen and their desire and their needs and there. And anytime we had anything to say about anything, shut up, boy, and you don't get the stage anyway. So I'm like, okay, well, homie can be creative. And my wife and I, we sat out in the desert. I remember it was between our birthdays. It was March of 88 or 89. I think it was 89. And we have our birthdays towards the end of the same month. And we sat there out in the desert. And we go, you know, and she didn't really understand. And I said, you're going to have to learn how to, you know, make 16 different recipes of beans. I remember saying that. And I go, we're going to get small. We're going to move into a small apartment, you know, divest ourselves of everything except take care of our children now while they're young because they don't know the difference. As long as mom and dad's there and they're fed and clothed and got each other to play with, it's all good. It wasn't until they started junior high that we started, you know, kind of expanding, you know, their life a little bit and moved in a little nicer place and such. And the reason was, is I knew what we were up against. And I go, here we go. Give me 10 years and I will have an impact. At the end of that 10 years, we had had our restaurant by then. And my wife goes, keep going. You know, I like having White Knight on our side and go kick butt and I'll help. And she became even more involved, more enthusiastic, because by then she could see what was going on. And all of that decision, all that commitment, all that focus, all that understanding came from me reading this one law. Now you tell me, there's a whole bunch that goes in behind that. So first comment on the law and then let's get into it. The show's yours, man. Go.
All right. First, I want to describe I want to use a metaphor, an abstraction of reality, to make common your experience of bumping up against reality on the battlefield of life. So there's a quote by George Orwell that he wrote in a letter. It says, there is no use in multiplying examples. The point is, that we're all capable of believing things which we know to be untrue. And then when we are finally proved wrong, impudently twisting the facts so that we as to show we are right. Intellectually, it's possible to carry on this process for an indefinite time. The only check on it is that sooner or later, a false belief bumps up against a solid reality, usually on a battlefield. End quote. So the Omnibus Trade Act of 1988 is where you bumped up against reality on the battlefield of life. Am I correct?
That's a good way of putting it.
All right. So now let's start with the definition, useful definition. You described it was under Reagan during 1980s. The Omnibus Foreign Trade and Competitive Act of 1988 was dealing with the American trade surplus, which had slowly diminished and morphed into an increasing deficit. So these guys like Richard Dick Gephardt, in order to please the executive branch, they come up with this policy. Now, this policy is just an act, and it's very bland and dry when you read about it, and it doesn't even actually get it renewed until 94 under Clinton. And it has this whole effect, but it's kind of an abstraction of reality because they're using this information in this act, and it's written by lawyers, and it's put through as a piece of legislation. But what does it really mean in reality? So I was trying to rethink it in terms of how would somebody who doesn't know anything about this go about it. And what I came up with was I would start with the Wikipedia page, and it gives you a useful definition. Again, it's a little dry, but if you go into the references, there's a hypertext link to a PDF document. And I read through that whole document just like a regular person who's just encountering this probably would. And at the end, there's a useful summary, and the document's title is Velvet Fist in an Iron Glove, the Omnibus Trade and Competitiveness Act of 1988 by Ronald A. Cass. Now, here's the quote. The act's tone, however, accurately reflects its time. The act does not confront a devastating event with a radical change by moving to a strongly protectionist trade law or by demanding that the world's trading nations agree on a stable set of open trade rules. Instead, the act's tone is one of apprehension for the future. It is a challenge to the executive branch and to our trading partners to satisfy the ACES supporters that changes the global economy, and it will not harm the sectors of American enterprise most vulnerable to those changes. It is a plea presented in the garb of a gauntlet, a sheep in wolf's clothing, a velvet fist in an iron glove, end quote. Now, that just brings you into the realm of economic hitmen. This is a, you know, seemingly innocuous trade act if you don't have any context for it. But when you understand who the gangsters are who are bringing this about, what they do before and after in relation to the context of time with respect to this act, then you have a much clearer picture and perspective of history from which you can make informed decisions.
Okay. So inform us, man. It shows yours. I might go. You're the man.
All right. Right on. All right. So what we're talking about as human beings is autonomy and self-governance and the theorem of non-aggression, and voluntary society is based on a common method of identifying that which exists. What exists all through history, if you read history, is a war against our rights. The people in control, the ruling class, and we can go into defining the ruling class if we need to, but they exist. They are acting as parasites. They are within our same species. They are plundering those who produce. That's history. So this whole idea of recent speculation, you mentioned the Keating Five, which involved not only, I believe, Frank Keating, but also John McCain. What's all being described here is game theory and cybernetics and how people like Soros play the public by realizing that which exists and realizing the perception gap for the public. And then playing that perception gap, that is the power gap. So whether you're talking about CPS in Hour 3 or you're talking about the Omnibus Trade Act in Hours 1 and 2, it's all about people trying to plunder our rights. They are preying on us because we don't have the intellectual self-defense to A, recognize, define, and learn about it for ourselves, and B, to clearly and cogently communicate it to the audience. And so that's what we're really trying to figure out is it's not that some of us get it already, but we also have to communicate it to the audience.
Well, we're going to get a lot of communicating going here. We keep adding more and more links to today's show. You know, as you're talking, I'm looking at more stuff, sending Donna to put it up. So this is a good reference for a lot of people. But I'm still in the now what mode, okay? But I'm going to give you why we need a now what with Richard. More when we come.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock. You didn't need to do it with me. You can do it by yourself. I declare my independence. See how easy it was. No government forms. Now we're going to Richard. Richard, go from Omnibus Trade Competitiveness Act. There is something behind it. They, you know, it's that, you know, iron fist, velvet glove. We're going to do what it came from. What? They go, we need this law in order to enact what? You know, what? We'll get into who
it's,
and
it's
why. I want to know what.
Terrorism. That's omnibus. It's all encompassing. Foreign trade means it has to do with trade that has to go with overseas or outside of the borders of this country. It's not interstate trade. It's not intrastate trade. It's foreign trade. So it has
at
to do
time.
With foreign policy.
At the
and
time.
So this is just a mechanism of carrying out foreign policy. So I have another document here in front of me that was provided to me. It's a pretty interesting story. So before I read it, I will tell you the story. It has to do with an event that happened 4 years after the Omnibus Trade Act in 1992. It was the Rio Conference for Agenda 21, and it was the United Nations Commission on Education, Environment and Development, the UNCED, UNCED Conference. And I found myself doing research, as I usually do, and I came across this video on the YouTube. It was about a half hour, and it was from 1992. So it's a VHS-quality video that's on YouTube. So I studied it, and the gentleman in it, George Washington Hunt, said that he had attended one of these meetings, and he was basically appalled by what he had realized in the context of history was going on. He collected these documents. He was presenting them during this, it's about a half-hour disclosure that he did. I guess he rented a public access studio, recorded this message, was trying to get the word out in 1992. In there, you can hear Sir Edmund de Rothschild, Morris Strong, all these other persons involved with the Green Agenda, UNCED, Agenda 21. It's all a way to harness human resources in a global way through using cybernetics and technocracy and a smart grid and controlling people through their energy consumption as another mechanism for crowd control. So in this short half-hour video, my mind's blown because he's talking about a lot of things with which I had a frame of reference and context, but I had not yet connected its meaning to Agenda 21, and he's providing these useful connections. And so I looked him up. I said I had to find out if this guy's still alive in 2011, this was at that time. And indeed he was, and I corresponded with him, and I said, sir, could I get a copy of the documents that you are presenting in that 1992 video? Do you still have these documents? And he said, certainly. And he mailed me copies of these, which we made a PDF of and we have posted various times in past episodes of our podcast. Now, I'm reading from page 4. This is a document that was circulated at the conference that, at which George Washington Hunt was present. And it's a questionable document. We'll talk about the authorship and authenticity in a minute. But first, I would just like to read from page 4 under the subject heading, What Must Be Done? It says, in the mounting face of opposition from third world elements, certain forces in the Eastern European and Russian regions and by the Vatican and certain weak need response in the ecology effort, what really is the purpose of traipsing around America to convince a handful of farmers, unionists, local officials, churchmen, and university environmentalists of the necessity of the Earth Charter? If one truly wished to convert the American public, would it not be necessary to fully say openly and explicitly what must be done and what must be done now? Do you really imagine that those that parading some third worlders before hearings conducted by local celebrities and the third world will simply quiet down and that the American press coverage of these events will overwhelm this opposition? And then it says, will you take action now that President Bush has the political momentum or wait until we must convince America to fight 100 Vietnam simultaneously? This is the time to save the Anglo-Saxon race in its most glorious production. The Anglo-Saxon system of banking, insurance, and trade. We are the living sponsors of the great Cecil Rhodes of 1877, in which Rhodes devoted his fortune to, quote, the extension of the British rule throughout the world, the colonization of British subjects on the entire continent of Africa, the Holy Land, the Valley of the Euphrates, the islands of Cyprus and Canada, the whole of South America, the islands of the Pacific, and heretofore possessed by Great Britain, the whole of the Malay Archipelago, the seaboard of China and Japan, the ultimate recovery of the United States of America as an integral part of the British Empire, end quote. Still reading from page four. We stand with Lord Milner's credo. We, too, are, quote, British race patriots, end quote. And our patriotism is the, quote, the speech, the tradition, the principles, and the aspirations of the British race, end quote. Do you fear to take this stand at this very last moment when this purpose can be realized? And then he goes on for pages and pages. So George Washington Hunt reads this, and he's like, wow. He makes a note here on this page. It says, when communism and capitalism collapse, world national socialism will rise up to replace them. Nazi stood for national in the word in national socialism. So they're looking for international socialism. Those are the notes he made in 1992. And then the last page of the document he sent is his letter to Congressman Richard A. Gephardt, who was instrumental in creating the Omnibus Foreign Trade and Competitive Act. So, October 2nd, 1991. He's asking Gephardt, he's saying, hey, this document was circulated at this meeting with your name, well, not your name, but your office's telephone number. And he's saying, Morris Strong is stirring up controversy about the Rio meeting. He will not preside as the Secretary General of the conference. Oh, he will preside as the Secretary General of the conference. An article not included with these papers quotes his speculations that a world financial collapse will be precipitated by the Rio meeting. Well, they just had the 20th anniversary Rio meeting, and we have a financial collapse in progress. Many are watching and listening as this Rio conference unfolds. So he says, our country has been undermined by the same sorts of persons who convened in the Des Moines Unsaid conference that George W. Hunt attended. We seem to be powerless to stop them. It must be doubly hard on you, Congressman Gephardt, to serve in these last years of our Constitution, seeing how we have lost control of our affairs as we ooze toward the brink. When foreigners like Morris Strong can thwart our laws and dismantle American systems at will, and he says parenthetically, I have proof of these statements, right under our noses and get away with them, any discerning American can see the fat lady rising up to sing. Now, the letter that I read opening to your awakening to reality, that comes from George Orwell's letters in front of your nose.
I am. What did George Orwell see that had him do what he did? I mean, was it the same thing? Same people, same agenda,
yes.
Same.
He was a Fabian socialist, and so he's hanging out with H.G. Wells and Bertrand Russell and these other Fabian socialists as they're writing about world domination. For instance, I have a book here by Bertrand Russell, who is a polymath from Oxford, who basically, in his mathematical proofs, to make a long story short, because I've studied all these things, he shows that the equal sign doesn't equal. So 2 plus 2 can't equal 4. It could equal 5 or 6 or whatever. And it's a cybernetics defense for solipsism. In other words, reality exists, cause and effect exist, identity exists, and therefore, as a theorem, we have non-aggression because we're all under the same human circumstances. These guys at Oxford, Wittgenstein, Bertrand Russell, Frege, and a whole bunch of other mathematician types and philosophers have used symbolic language to prove that their position as predators or parasites is just as equally justifiable, which is ironic because they show in Bertrand Russell's work that you know equals doesn't equals. Right, they kind of disprove the concept of things equaling each other, and thus, ironically, their end result is that non-aggression is just as equally viable and logical and reasonable as aggression. Right, and so this is the whole core of their corrupt philosophy, and that's really what governs the world. It's not people; it's a corrupt philosophy. And as long as people don't have the intellectual self-defense to dismiss the arbitrary, to recognize fallacies, to discover the anti-concepts and equivocable definitions, that's how we're all being mind controlled.
All right, cybernetics, that's basically what it means, is how they steer you in and control and brainwash and society and mass whatever. But I want to apply this to what now, you know, how, when do we have to stop studying, and when can we stop? We'll be right back.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
You know that yeah, what's the answer? Freedom.
Free.
You know, how do you break free? You know, blah, 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 break free. You
so
know,
why don't we have it yet, Ernie?
That's what we're talking about, okay?
All right.
So this is, my thing is how do we do, and I tell you what my tact has been, just from my experience, young, doing, kind of gone through this. I knew a few things. One, I knew it wasn't going to just, you know, happen. They had to take some action. Two, I knew it was going to take a while. Three, I knew they had to know that it was, you know, there was a need, okay? So it goes through the time. We have a slogan that we're working on what we're going to do with Mark Victor's running for U.S. Senate here, because he doesn't give a crap about winning or votes, or he's a criminal defense attorney. He's got a job. So he can't take the pay cut. So what we go, look, what are we going to do? We have big signs up. It just says government : shut the F up. I saw what you did. Done. That's it.
Okay, so you're leading with the conclusion, and you're lacking the step-by-step explanation of how you've reached the conclusion. And that's why there's tens of millions of people in this country who are still voting for
Richard,
president in
this
one of the
is
two
what
parties.
My point is that the people already have a conclusion. That's what everybody thinks, that they haven't lived and experienced it and saw it at the checkout counter every time they get groceries, when they get gas, when their kid comes home from school, when they drive home, when they see their neighbors being raided. I saw what you did. No, not they saw what you did. No, it's not reported on TV what you did. I physically stood there and saw what you did. At some point, it saturates to the point where the people are a sponge that is saturated. I knew that was coming.
It's not coherent.
Look,
the issue is that you and I are observing. So you and I are human beings, and we're observing an issue, a challenge, an obstacle, however you want to characterize it. But it's that over 100 million people in this country have no idea what they're participating in every day, and they're giving away their power, and they're giving the power to those who enslave and tax the rest of us. Can we agree on that?
Yes, but I want to talk about the... Let's go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and finish your thought on this, but
I
want to make sure we get this part in. Right. When Isaiah's Job was written by Albert Nock, he was talking about the prophet Isaiah in the Bible, long story, the remnant, okay? He's going, look, there is a small group that you must, you know, keep the remnant alive. You must, and you know, I talked to, like Lou Rockwell and Ron Paul and all these guys and everything. They're talking about the remnant. You know, Thomas DeLorenzo I had on, I think, yesterday or the day before. And
yep, I heard him.
The remnant, okay? And that's what they've been holding. We're keeping this, what you're talking about, to the remnant. Because the vast majority, a lot of the people are like, yeah, but then I'd have to pick up a book and read. I mean, you know, you're not getting them. Their life is what's going to get them. You know, the government's going to be our recruiter for them, all right? So I'm just going, okay, once the remnant is saturated, once you get everything, you know, then you can, it's like the revolution is 3-6% of the people. I mean, you know, this is, it's
agreed.
The masses, I mean, trying to, you know, take a horse and shoving his head into the water, you know, doesn't work. Circumstances does. That was the difference between me and I think you, is that I knew that was coming. I knew they were going to be saturated by this overwhelming wool blanket just put over the fire, and they had to, you know, rise up with the information. We got an action. We got something to do. We got, you know, are you motivated freaking yet while you're starving? Which is going to happen, is why I was so adamant about what was going on in the Arab Spring. I knew what they needed. Boom, sending them DVDs, Arabic translated, blah, 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 and all that, because I'm going, look, the circumstances there are exactly what I anticipate is coming here. Everybody, I saw what you did. Now, you're saying, yeah, but that doesn't mean anything if you don't have the context to understand what the hell you just saw.
No. See, you're missing the point.
All right, go.
Okay, so let's say I've got my firearms. I've got my storable food. I'm all set. I'm all prepped. I've got my physical and self-defense all taken care of as far as I can, right? That's most people. Now what? Well, you need intellectual self-defense, because now you're going to try to communicate to other people who need this information, who are being adversely affected and aren't being provided with this information in context in their environment. In order to do that, you're going to need to start with – step by step, here's my observation, here's a conclusion, step by step, here's the proof of what I'm saying. That equals communication and knowledge that they can take seriously and try to convince other people of what's really going on, right? Because we have had a school system that's indoctrinated 100 million people to think they already know without ever looking. So, yeah, it might mean reading some books, but it means reading the books you need to communicate with your loved ones and families so you can all get on the same page. It's because we're not all on the same page yet. Yes, everyone knows their corruption. Everyone knows all this stuff, right? Everyone knows now what? Well, now what? We all got to get on the same page and remove any contradictions in our understandings so we can communicate and be organized, because that's how the small elite ruling class has always organized. You know, they organize themselves, then they organize us. They are organized. We need to get together, be organized, and be coherent and compassionate in our communications. That means we have to first understand things for ourselves at a granular level well enough to teach everyone around us. What are we supposed to do about it? What I do is when I stop learning for a couple hours, I get on the radio and talk to Ernie, and we both are doing what we need to do, which is inform other people using credible information, making it coherent, because all the news and all their education is made to fragment their minds. That's what we do about it right now.
Okay. I have complete understanding. I get it. Everybody thinks I don't get it. I get it. You are correct. How many people, or how influential are those people, do you believe that you have this information for? Who's your audience? What impact are they having? I give you an example. I understood that by keeping Dr. Paul up on that podium for as long as possible was a benefit to the planet. I knew this. Had nothing to do with voting, had nothing to do with, you know, this internal takeover GOP convention primary delegate crap. I didn't care about that. It was keeping him up there because I had the faith that the next generation, the youth, not everybody else, the youth, knew something was wrong, look at that, and oh my goodness, they might go read a couple of paragraphs of their friends putting something up on Facebook. They get sent into direction. The glow of the dawn was in that direction. I knew that would happen because I was them. I knew what I want. I searched for, God, like a year, for all the 1990 election cycle for a single candidate that I could go help. It was so bad that I had no intention. I ran just to get standing so I could file suit on how screwed up it was. Because nobody I could find was doing any. Everybody wanted me to join their club. Everybody wanted me to, you know, be at their meetings. Everybody, but nobody really understood what was going on until I started meeting some libertarians. And I'm going, finally, oh my goodness. Am I like I took a crazy pill? But the vast majority of the people out there suffer from indoctrination of decades. They are so locked in. So what in the 90s did I realize? I go, you know what? I make it, you know, people get mad. I say it all the time. I go, I'm just waiting for all y'all to die off. I'm not going to fix you. It's not going to get fixed by people older than me. It's not. Either they're fixed or they aren't. They are so immersed in this. They are so defensive. It's like in The Matrix. That's why I play that one rejoinder. It goes, hey, man, they are so hopeless. They're here to support the system. They will kill, die, and whatever to support this system. So I ask you, in your experience and everything that you do, who's your target? Who do you think you're recruiting? Who do you think that you're changing?
I'm not recruiting anybody. I'm simply sharing the journey which has led to my perspectives, and sharing the growth and sharing the map of an expedient way so that you don't have to go through the trial and error of reading through thousands of books. It's like, here's the books that are, you know, useful when you bump into someone who says, well, I don't believe in this, or I don't believe in that. And there's, it's reflective of someone holding a belief in an area where they have not yet identified anything. And that's why they believe that. That's why it's not knowledge. Belief's like a rest stop on the journey to get actual knowledge.
Wow, you're optimistic.
Investigation and observation.
No, I agree. Richard, you think I don't. I want to emphasize you tremendous. I'm like, tragedy and hope, man. You guys go, we need another hour. So I'm going, tragedy and hope. Watch every freaking video they got, all the stuff that they do. Join their club. Get, man, go. But I'm telling you, the people that will do that are not over 50. The older generation.
Hey, I have lots of people who are in their 90s and 80s.
I'm sure you do, but that's not the mass market. I saw a lot of people older in the crowd at Ron Paul rallies, that without a doubt. But they were people that, you know, were bent that way anyway. I'm telling you, it's the youth. I want tragedy and hope. But, you know, we'll talk about it when we come back. I'll talk to you over the air. The QR code that thing that we did a year ago was all put up at high schools. You want to know about, you want to get your mind right? School Sucks podcast, Stefan Molyneux, all these QR codes at high school lockers.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Well, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but you know what? Yes, I agree with Richard. You got to have a contextual understanding of, you know, why now what? I mean, we are so far past now what. But, you know, everybody has, you know, they get their cut of the thousand cuts that takes down the beast. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's a, ooh, man, it's where to cut and when. Ooh, where's that vein? Where's that artery?
Root cause. You're looking for the root cause.
It's right there. I already know, man. I just want to know what the. Well, yeah, we're gonna have some fun with this. You and I are going to see. This is what I see you as: an enormous resource, big, giant, blazing sword that can be used to blah 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 blah. But it's an asset that now is mine and a lot of other people's. We want to use you. We want to take all the archived information and what you have and wield it. Okay, I can wield it. I know how to do it. QR code, stickers, you know, to target the young. Because I have found in my years of doing this, it was always the young people, as they are being indoctrinated from the beginning, if you can inject just a little bit in there and totally screw up the bad guy. I would go speak at schools a lot. You know, as county chairman of the Libertarian Party, they always have us, you know, every September before an election year, they want us going around talking, yada, yada, yada. I learned a lot from that. And I realized something, you're well read. You probably already have a book that tells about this. And we have a caller, Jake. I'll get right to you in just a second. But this is what I realized. As I talk to the younger kids, I keep them entertained, you know, about, you know, what's yours and theirs and blah, 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 blah. High school students, you talk about whatever and you can get them. They're pretty much set in. They're PC all the heck and think that if they say green enough, they get laid more or something. But, you know, you go into junior high, 7th, 8th grade. There was a reason why they created middle school. There's a reason why they have junior high. There's a reason why they start social studies and government and everything in 7th and 8th grade. Because they were going through puberty. And it was because of a book by Peter Benchley, a guy that wrote Jaws. It was a book called The Island. And I remember in there, I was in high school, I read this or something. And what it was about is the Bermuda Triangle was really all these ships were going away because pirates, you know, modern pirates lived on little islands there, Shanghai, you know, taking them, oh, save us, we're on a raft, and they take and kill everybody, take their stuff, sink the ship, whatever. But they would take the children and they, you know, add them to their little clan or whatever. So what they did is the first thing they did is they'd pull their pants down and see if they had pubic hair. If they started having pubic hair, they killed them. If they didn't, okay, they weren't worldly yet, and they knew that they could mold their minds. They could take care of them. They could get them thinking there. They could be theirs then. And I go, I understand why. And I made sure that my children understood this as they grew up. I go, if they go, why are you always on our butt? I go, look, because if I'm not teaching you, you don't know right and wrong and everything before the hormones start flowing and lock your brain in, it's too late. Okay? It's too late. You have to get, because once the hormones start, man, it's all question authority time. So I realized what they were doing. When you go into seventh and eighth grade, that's when they really start the hard press indoctrination, because that's when you start questioning authority. That's when the teacher doesn't know better. That's when you start going, you start asserting your own individuality. And that is when they need to screw with you the most. So I'm like, all right, how can I have an impact on the young back then? I mean, are they too young to understand what's happening to us? Are they too young to be exposed to tragedy and hope? Are they too young to hear what Richard has to say? I say not. I say that is the time, and that's why they do this. The indoctrination starts very young. Here in Arizona, head of the Gestapo, Janet Napolitano, what does she do? Her number one issue, right before she goes to be the head of the, you know, Homeland Security, was to get government-funded preschool. Number one issue. Had to, man, kindergarten wasn't early enough. We need taxpayer-funded preschool for the kids here in Arizona. Why? Because they knew that grandma and mom and dad or whatever were still having way too much influence, and they couldn't indoctrinate and get nice little drones out of them early enough. And I'm going, wow. So while we're worrying about all this other stuff and more mature age, I'm going, screw them. It's over, man. Yes, there are older people. Yes, they do come around. But there is a target-rich, oh my goodness, wanting to suck it up sponge environment of Generation Next. I keep saying that, and I have experience here. 15 years ago, when I first started realizing this in the mid-90s, I hammered the crap out of it. Why does everybody think all the Levolution, all this kind of stuff comes out of Arizona? It's not Ernie. It's the environment that we created. It's about, you know, unrestricted concealed carry, all the pushbacks on a lot of different stuff. There is things that are, there's a reason for it. And that's what Jake wants to talk about, indoctrination. Okay, Jake, go ahead and ask your question.
Well, I more or less, I'm along the same lines as you guys with the indoctrination in schools. I'm an independent educator and use animals as a naturalist to educate. I would like to know what you think are the possibilities of independent effects of the curriculum change, whether we can really use the system against itself, get in there and make a positive change through their own avenues of indoctrination. Can we turn it around? Is there hope within the system?
Richard?
Thanks, well, that's Jake. A great question, Jake. Thank you. I would address it with the words of John Taylor Gatto in The Ultimate History Lesson, which, if circulated through all these schools, would dissolve that system. He says that the system is too because of how the system's designed, who designs it, who funds the teachers' pensions, et cetera, in that five-hour set of interviews. He says you can't fix it. But only by circulating this information among the people who are being victimized by that system can they voluntarily withdraw themselves. And now, among the free market, voluntary relationships can be created, and you can really teach your children well by understanding the world for yourself and learning how to communicate and structuring an education system that truly is about unocculting the world. That's the meaning of the word education in the 1845 dictionary. So before they change everything around, what we have is a system of schooling. Schooling is conditioning. What is conditioning? Changing the behaviors and values and actions of our children. That is the definition of brainwashing. And when you look at the internationalist agenda that has been infiltrating our school system, our education system for the last century, what we end up with is a nation that has its morals and ethics dissolved and disbanded. And now we have some sort of solipsism where anyone can believe anything they want, and there is no objective reality, and that is the corrupt philosophy of the ruling elite who are funding the teachers in the NEA. They created the General Education Board. It's all the small group of people. It's a finite planet. The history is what you need to understand this and to stay away from it and to share it with others, because that's why we made the Ultimate History Lesson, for parents and PTAs and grandparents and the students themselves, because if they can realize at any point, any one of those generations can realize that they're being hurt, they're hurting their children, they're hurting their grandchildren by indoctrinating them into a system that does not uphold human values and makes their actions very much in contradiction and in conflict with human survival, which is the mindset of a slave. And so even if you go back to Frederick Douglass, he said, if you want to create slaves, you have to take away the individual's ability to recognize contradictions and therefore their ability to sense what reality is. If you can't tell what reality is, you definitely have an identity crisis, and you can be easily manipulated and controlled. This is laid out in Bertrand Russell's book, The Scientific Outlook, as well as The Impact of Science on Society, which on page 103 goes into how they have to use propaganda, educational propaganda with government help to achieve world government. He talks about this state of affairs might be somewhat unpleasant. But why? Because these people don't believe in happiness.
You know, I'm being clear in making my point that, you know, the focus of the market on the market. We're always talking to the parent, talking to the teacher, talking to politicians, talking to everybody else, saying, you know what, we need to, and look what they're doing. Did anybody ever think of just focusing on the kids?
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock. 2800 and now.
Oh, I got something up. Oh, it's double doing. Yeah, well, okay, I pushed the right button, but I didn't unpush one other button. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. We're talking with Richard Grove. And they're such an enormous resource. And I just want to help. I want to use it to, guess what? For what I want to do, because I can. See how easy that is? Because I can. You're not going to let me? Well, I think he might let me. Now, what we're going to do is this is what I want to do. I understand where the power is. I understand why the big bad guys want to be in such a... You know, I mean, heck, they did a five-hour thing with John Taylor Gatto sitting there screaming it. You know, where... But who are you talking to? You're talking to parents and grandparents. Say, get them kids out. You know who wants to be free? Free the kids more than anybody else? Let me think. The kids! You think they don't know? Hell yeah, they know! Why do you think they're so bored? Why do you think they got to drug them all? Why do they got to, just cram it down? And if they can't, the parents aren't, drugging them enough, what do? They send in a SWAT team in a freaking tank. Detroit happened, just added up on yesterday and today. What are they doing? Oh, she didn't drug her 13-year-old daughter enough. We got a SWAT team. That kind of show of force is for what? By whom? Why? I'm telling you, man, it is a battle for the young kids' minds, and as they're on the front line sitting there watching it happen, they know what happens to their friends. Anyone that shows any kind of distinctiveness, any uniqueness, any kind of, even happy, they got, more energy than what they can contain in a classroom. They're, boom, you're not a drone enough. You think they don't get it? Of course they get it every single day, but they're ignored. Oh, we got to convince your grandma. Go, screw grandma. Show me how to get out.
But they need a way out. They need an egress. They need an exit, and they need a way to inform their family. And that's what the ultimate history lesson does. And because I know from putting it out, so you can buy the disc set, but you can also, for people who can't afford it or just want to share it, the idea is to get the information out there. So we had put it out for free. Before we even created the disc set, we put it out on torrents before we created the disc set. And the earliest adopters, besides the parents and grandparents and PTAs, were the kids who were like, wow, this is evidence of what I've been suspecting, but here's all the evidence of how they do it, why they do it. And it's the evidence that they need to hand to their parents to be like, look, let's sit down and have a couple family hours together, because this affects all of us adversely until we all learn together and get on the same page and save each other. Because that's what this activity is about. We who are, doing our research and seeing this wave coming are trying to warn other people. And at the same time, we see people who can help us warn other people and other ways to get the warning out faster. Because what I don't do professionally is promote my work. The only reason that I have an audience as big as it is because all of those people know that they have the responsibility that if they find value, not only to support us, but to spread it. Because I'm not about tooting my own horn. I'm not about advertising. And so that's why I embrace what you're doing, because I just do what I do. I lay it out there, and it's out there, and it's provable, and there's the resources and everything you need to convince any of your loved ones what's going on, how it's organized, and how to get away from it, how to exit that situation. Okay, one of the taglines for our curriculum is exit the rabbit hole.
Okay,
it's the information
out. I mean, heck, that's the title of the page I want to land on, exit the rabbit hole. I mean, something like that. Boom, let's go. See, this is it. I started watching. I just have the second hour in my DVD player, ready to, whenever I get an hour to watch it. I watched the first hour along with the you know, the introduction and everything else. And I'll tell you, you start off with that, no 12-year-old's going to be 5 minutes.
No, I mean, they jump right into the YouTube hours 3, 4, and 5 because that's where they that's what they want to see. But you need hours 1 and 2 to understand the context and the gravamen and how well organized and professional their system.
What they need and what they'll watch are two freaking different things. Okay, so I'm just have 1, 2 whatever. You know, my point is where you get to the landing when they do that QR code and whatever the first thing that hits them. John Taylor saying, therefore, you should drop out of school. And whoa, man, I'll get another 5 minutes. And I'll give you another 5 minutes.
The first person who screened it was a 15-year-old admin at one of our partners who's been in business since 1968, providing alternative education resources for the world. And he has world conferences. So it's a serious organization. He had a 15-year-old screen it. The 15-year-old came back and said, I watched the whole thing. That was fascinating. I didn't know all that stuff. And he felt empowered. And that was the buying decision for that partner to take it to his conference, right? He didn't watch it himself. He's 75, right? He had a 15-year-old watch it, and that was the feedback we got on what you're watching.
Yeah, blah, blah,
right
blah.
Now.
They weren't going to go 5 minutes into what I saw. Garen, freaking tee it. That's my opinion. And you want me to get a whole panel of 15? You want me to get a panel of 15-year-olds? So. You want me to bring my kids in? Is that what it's going to take? My point
I
is...
I think you should watch it as a family together with your kids.
Oh, see, you're killing me. You're killing me. This is, strip your ego from your mind right now and listen to the words coming out of my mouth. There is an enormous market out there ready for your information. You need to only get their attention for 5 minutes, then another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes, and once you get them locked in, they'll go watch every freaking thing you got. But you can't just deluge them with the, John. We had John Taylor. I know John. Had him at our Freedom Summit. Great. Wonderful. But there is no way. Who came to the conference to see him? Bunch of parents. They needed to reaffirmation of what they were doing or wanted to look. But, I want to get the kids. I want them because they become parents, because they become contributors. They become supporters. They become viral. It's a 3 minute. That's why 4409 is so popular with his videos. They're 3 to 5 minutes and they get right freaking to the point. And I'm going,
plenty of people who cater to short attention spans. My job is to elongate the attention span so that people can take in the information they need to make clear decisions.
And my goal is to get the short attention spans to get longer.
But I'm not living their lives for them. That's a choice that they have to make.
All right, here we go. If I get 4409 to create a video of the introduction for them to want to watch the rest of your stuff, would you consider using it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a number of trailers that people have made from that are very popular and that summarize it. My job was to make sure that I wasn't censoring any of John's important ideas and that I provided references and footnotes and the primary sources as well as...
Now, of course you did.
Right. So for all levels of people, whether you just want to watch it on the surface or dig into it and become a scholar, it's all there as a route for people to dig into.
You have to understand, I'm not as smart as you are. I'm not as learned as you are. I'm not as eager as you are to get in.
Absolutely are. I just use a method consistently over the past several years, and I've weeded out the arbitrary and unsubstantial thoughts from my mind.
Whoa, you haven't weeded out a whole... I'm sure you have, but I mean, you got a lot of stuff that you try to... Which is what makes you so unique, which makes you so valuable. I understand that. I don't want you to water anything down. I want you to get them in to want to know everything that you do. And I'm telling you, by the time they hit junior high, they are so beaten down into trivializing what is really important. You know, let's do that. Describe to the people how they are able to use the Prussian model of education now. We're going to do this in the next segment. That you can go ahead and explain to the people right now the very method by which they beat you down into not wanting to know the truth. To not wanting to get the full information, to not seeing it as relevant, there's a method. And if you think they haven't already got these kids conditioned by the time they start to get into puberty, hell, that's their whole intent, to do it so that they can then take that blank slate and implant what they want as they're going through puberty. It is a system, and we got to beat it with ours. All right, let's talk about more when we come back. With Richard Grove.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
The Matrix is a system, Neo. That system is our enemy. But when you're inside, you look around, what do you see? Businessmen, teachers, lawyers, carpenters. The very minds of the people we are trying to save. But until we do, these people are still a part of that system, and that makes them our enemy. You have to understand, most of these people are not ready to be unplugged. And many of them are so inert, so hopelessly dependent on the system, that they will fight to protect it. Were you listening to me, Neo? Or were you looking at the woman in the red dress?
I was...
Look again. Freeze it.
What are they?
Sentient programs. Anyone we haven't unplugged is potentially an agent. Inside the Matrix, they are everyone, and they are no one. They are guarding all the doors, they are holding all the keys, which means that sooner or later, someone is going to have to fight them.
Someone.
I won't lie to you, Neo. Every single man or woman who has stood their ground, everyone who has fought an agent has died. But where they have failed, you will succeed.
Why?
Their strength and their speed are still based in a world that is built on rules. Because of that, they will never be as strong or as fast as you can be.
What are you trying to tell me? That I can dodge bullets?
No, Neo. I'm trying to tell you that when you're ready, you won't have to.
You won't have to. And where do you unplug them? Where do you start to unplug? Well, hell, before they're fully plugged in my opinion. You know, this is, and while they're sitting there watching it happen, you know, shut up, government. I saw what you did. I'm seeing what you're doing. I'm so, it's such a target-rich environment. That's where the focus, you know. Oh, I need another project. All right, here we go. You know, this is because we've done this before. I already know where it goes. I know how fast it works. And what did I do last year? In last October, we made a big giant effort sending them to where would we go? We sent them to Stephen Molyneux, you know, Freedomain Radio. We sent them the QR code to Adam versus the Man, figured they might, you know, like someone young like him yelling against the man. And schoolsucks.com, School Sucks Project. So we go, if we did these three and we put these in the schools and everything, you know, who would it upset? Well, the kids, they don't give a crap. They're like, hey, cool. Did you see that? Cool, cool. And they got the QR sticker on the back of their folder and envelope, and they don't even have lockers anymore. But, you know, they put it on their backpacks, and they're seeing around on the bumpers of the high school kids. We did all kinds of crap. So we're going, who got upset? Oh, it was the administration. It was the system. It was the Matrix. So I'm going, okay, did it have an effect on parents? Of course it did. It's just like Dr. Paul was going, hey, man, all these guys coming in, you know, a lot of people are coming in because of their 13-year-old kid. It was the children. It was the kids. It was the teenagers that were bringing their parents. So this information, the reason I'm so adamant about this is because I do see how valuable your tragedy and hope is. It's an enormous. The more I look, the more I see, the more I understand what you're doing, the more I know you understand, I'm going, holy crap. It gets infected into this culture, what you guys have to offer, and I'm going, man, it is so freaking over. But it's not going to happen from the, yeah, you're going to have older guys. You got the 90 year, you know what? I get it. But, you know, I've been to rallies after rallies after rallies after rallies across the country through 07 and 08. I was all over the country every freaking weekend flying somewhere to teach them how to make signs, going to meet up, doing whatever, pushing the Lovolution outside of the campaign. Now, it was where Dr. Paul was going to be that weekend. I didn't coordinate through the campaign. Look, I don't have nothing to do with y'all. But when I went there, what did I see? I go to the meetup. There was the young people. They made up maybe a third in the early days. The older people tell them what they can't do. Did you get a permit for that? Oh, yeah, let's go get a permit from the man to be able to get a finger to the man. Seriously? You know, so these young kids are like, permits? I didn't think there's a permit to give a finger to the man. I didn't know there was a permit for that. They didn't even think to ask. It's a totally different mindset. It's like you already three quarters of the way there. You don't even have resistance. They're begging, they're sucking it up like a sponge. So I'm going to go ahead and make Tragedy and Hope a project. We're going to go ahead and do that. We'll get the QR code thing. We'll work with you enough to get this out and do it just as a demonstration, just so I can go, Neon, I freaking told you so. So I can show you a now what? Because I am so tired of having the same, you know, but it's good information. I mean, hell, that's why I have them on. You know, this is, I'm just trade competitive sack thing. You know, that's how it got started. That had a beginning. But you know what? I already know what the end is. Total hegemonic domination. It's like, you know, we rule you because that's how they think. I don't need to know why they think it. I don't need to know how long they've been thinking it. I know that's what they're doing. Okay, now what? Well, this is a now what to where Richard can keep doing what he does as excellent as he does it. And we can take that and put it towards what I want to do. Because you know what it always comes down to? Is what you want to do. Let me tell you what I want to do. Get all enthusiastic about it. QR codes, junior high, high school. Hell, grade school. Hell, you should have a page for little kids. Now, I'm 6 years old. I learned how to read. You know, Dick and Jane got screwed by the man. Okay? I mean, this is, you know, where we're going. So that is why I'm so passionate about this. I've been doing this a long time, and I see what an asset you guys are, and I want to wield it the way I want to because I can. You going to stop me?
Not at all. I mean, that's the whole idea, is to teach people how to think for themselves so that they can be autonomous. Because even in a state of anarchy, even if you got to the place where you're like, oh, I don't government, I don't need this violent relationship in my life. But anarchy doesn't give you autonomy. It doesn't give you all the things that they had to have to rule you in the first place. And it's only when everyone is equally armed intellectually and physically that you can have peace, because then we have mutual respect on all levels, right?
I understand. It's like when you're a kid and they have crystal radio sets and you learn how to make your own. I thought that was cool. And here's the thing, and solder, and you go and all that. But they never explained, you know, what to do with it or how a transistor worked or whatever. It was just like tab A, slot B. And I go, I didn't understand anything any more than I did before I started this. And I know you're wanting to give them all kinds of the information and everything and back and so on. And that's necessary. And I'm like, okay, now what do you do with it? You know, so we're part of the same thing. It's like you got to understand how everything works and why. And then, okay, now you got it working. Now what are you going to do with it? I got to work in radio. So what? You know, so I'm just I understand the role that we both play in this. And that's why I really like spending time with you and going on with this. But it looks like I got to prove this again. You know how many times I've done this? You know how many times people go, well, Ernie, and now next time I'm going, really, I got to do this again? A freaking again. So, all right, here we go. So I'm going to do all I need from you is permission. Well, I don't even need that. But if you will set up a page that you think that, and if I need to do something else or add to or request or have it go to my page or whatever, we already have the template for the QR codes done at Liberty Stickers. It's already done. It's a big, giant door-sized thing. What, you know, I do a few of those, cost me a couple $100. Boom. Tempe is ours, or it's yours. And you're going to see the traffic. You're going to see where it comes from. We have the QR code. They have it where they can track where it goes. They can even get it geographically where it shows, like when we download the app for the using the QR code for the silver calculator, it shows up on a map where it got downloaded from. So we can do all this stuff right, not later, just to demonstrate how you can explode when you're really trying to get the very people that you're not targeting. So I'm going, look, man, I can help target just to demonstrate, because that's what the bad guys are afraid of. They don't want people growing up free. You know, you may try to extract some of the people and get some off the top or some that just won't take the programming. Hell, they don't want them anyway. You know, go put them in Zion. Get rid of them. Get them out of my face. But we're going to do this because I can see this is, man, it, you want to come to the attention of important people and live an interesting life? This is how you do it. You take away the fuel that's fueling this whole thing. It's Generation Next, and nobody's targeting them. Well, the Levolution did, and look what happened. We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
his high horse, and he's got, I feel all vented now, and you know I'm good. But this whole 2 hours with Richard was really all about, you know, we started with the omnibus trade thing, but it's really all of that is built around creating a society that would accept all of that. How do they do that? You know, help the John Taylor Gatto series. I'm, you know, definitely he came to this conclusion, not just from education or how and do what. No, he understood what they were doing. He's going, look, they're creating drones for the state. That was the whole goal. Heck, that they didn't even hide it. That's exactly what they wanted. But, you know, okay, so let's stop. How about that? All right. So let's go ahead and talk along that vein. These guys are doing to get the agenda, you know, everything, Agenda 21, control of the economy, tax, and, you know, just become parasites on the generation after generation. The stopping of that is to, you know, like you're saying, you know, be aware of how this is happening. How do they do that? What is the mechanism by which they get the generation after generation after generation after generation accepting all of this in the obvious, you know, detriment to their humanity? How is that done?
Well, I mean, it's done from a bunch of different levels. Gatto describes the level of education, how they infiltrate education. There's the level of how they infiltrate foreign policy. There's a number. There's psychology. But the common theme is that they are, it's worse than what you just said, so I just want to make sure we're speaking in the same context. It's not that they just want to, like, take over and create drones for the state. That was a plan 100 and some years ago. Their new plan is to dissolve all the nations, to create a world government based on a scientific dictatorship that is very much like what you see in the movie Zeitgeist or Logan's Run. It's a computer that's running everything, but who's running those computers? People don't ask these problems. This is the same thing that Huxley brings up in Brave New World, where it's like all these things are banned, but the elite ruling class has access to all this other information that they use, and that's the power gap. And he's describing how they rule over humans. Only Huxley is in the opinion that, you know, they want to make the slaves love their servitude. So there's several passages at the end of The Impact of Science on Society by Bertrand Russell, where he talks about they want to create a monopoly on armed force. Well, that's the UN disarmament treaty right now, right? But he wrote this book 60 years ago. He's talking about the need for the world government built on evident Darwinian principles. So again, this ties back into what Gatto is describing in the Ultimate History Lesson. He's describing the main players used to corrupt the philosophy of the elites, how they applied it in our school system, in our political systems, in our economic systems. And by the time you get to hour five, you have an education that surpasses anything offered in this country right now, except the colleges and high schools that are using our discs and disc sets and our films and podcasts to instruct their students, of which there's not enough. There are a few that are using these for instructional purposes to expose their audiences, which I think is great. But what we need right now, Ernie, is your help to get to this audience that I don't have the time or effort. Like, I can just do what I do, connecting. I do the research. I present what I've found. Here's the relevant information. It's a map so you can avoid pitfalls. But what we really need is the part that you specialize in, which is, you know, getting this out to the people who need it. Because that I'm only one person, and I'm bound by the laws of physics just like everyone else.
Okay, now this is where we have you assume that Ernie's out there every day, all day, doing kind of on his own, or even these other guys. No, that's not how it's done.
No, it's obviously the audience that you help to organize.
And, no, I mean, well, yeah, but this is how it's. I'll tell you the secret. Everybody asks me the secret. They go. I go a lot of play. Ernie, I want to have the same thing that you got in my city. I even have some real estate. I got an office building. We're going to do a workshop. We're going to do this and do that. And they can get my own little army to do what I want to do. Ta-da! And I'm going, you're going to fail. You already lost before you started. I go, because
I don't want an army. I'm not interested in people following me or any of that stuff.
I understand.
Which is why I haven't been doing some of the things that I need to do to proliferate this this vital information.
So I'm going to share with you the secret. Here's the secret. You let people do exactly whatever it is that they want to do. But oftentimes, they don't have the time. They'll see the value in whatever the project is, but they got a limited amount of time. But what they can do, let me tell you what people do, to the point that we're out. I mean, we ran out, you know, about Pork Fest time. We got to do more of them. people, every time we have a party, and by the time somebody comes over, they give me another stack, and they get a stack of these QR codes, because what are they doing with them? They don't go to the same gas pumps all the time, or the same gas station. They'll go to different ones just to put up more if the other ones are still saturated and still up there. They'll go to, you know, the public restrooms at work, and they just kind of put a little, they don't got to say anything, just put a QR code there by the toilet dispenser. You know, they just put it onto this, onto that, onto it. It's an activist thing, and they understand the value of it in like a project like what you're doing, and then we take video, YouTubes, creative YouTubes of all kinds of fun and this and that and kind of fast moving whatever. It inspires other people. Order this. Here's the link. Go order this, you know, thing. It costs this much. Get a whole bunch. Go put them out. Save the children in your area. Kind of. And it's just an inspiration. Inspiration. That is the most powerful tool that I have in my, you know, Batman utility belt. Okay. To inspire others to do it, I just take away the hurdles. This whole QR code thing was not so I could have 15 gazillion stuff for me to go out and put out. No, it was to demonstrate using a lot of different leaders in the freedom community and say, look, here's a method by which you can leverage all of your work in doing it. You know, I tell you who really embraced it was Kokesh. Man, he just went all over. That's all he does, man. It's just East Coast. He just, you know, QR code stickering everywhere. And so this is a method that I think that it would augment what you're doing and let me do what I want to do, which is to expose younger people to what you have to offer, because that is what this has always been. Everything that you're talking about is doesn't happen unless you can get generation after generation accepting, willing to participate, see the path of success or college, and then they all of a sudden, just now, they're starting to realize, they're going, oh, so my future is I get in military service or I got a big, giant student debt. That's it. Oh, and the promise of me having a job isn't there? Well, I got screwed. And how much of this generation figured that out? How long ago? A whole bunch of them in just the last couple of years. I mean, just the last couple of years. What if we were targeting them with your stuff 5 years ago, 10 years ago? You see my point? So I'm like, there's never too late to do this. So I'm all over it. I say, now, and I know you're really good at this. Every time I turn around, we talk, you send me something. You're probably doing it right now as you're talking to me. So you get this to me. We can get it over to Liberty Stickers. We'll get this done. We'll set up a page. Done. And all of those listening in the audience, this is how this stuff happens. This is project number 15 gazillion for me. And I'm going, you know what? When I see something, man, rock and roll. Why am I waiting? Waiting on you now. So we're going to do this, and you watch what happens. We're going to be able to track it. We can get the QR code to go to a tracking, kind of see where it came from, how, why, you know, if we want to. I don't even care. But, you know, some people want to do that. A lot of the guys with the silver calculator, they were real on to that, so I know they can do it. But the point is that we see this explosion in Arizona. It'll start with the youth, but it'll expand everywhere. And who's going to be the one guy's freaking out? It's going to be faculty and teachers and all that. It's going to start, and then it hits the unions and the legislators. It's an infection because they are scared because you are going at the kids. Whether the kids do it or hell, you're going to get more press and so on for them bitching about it, the older guys, than you are from the kids, which all the more reason for them to go. I mean, I've seen,
you know,
this.
Not to interrupt you, but I'm just sitting here thinking because Lisa and I are going to go see John and Janet this weekend, and we're going to take him a check, and it's my job to bring some inspiration. And I think I'm going to rip this to a CD so he can listen to what, you know, his words are going to be doing as a function of you helping me to provide the tools to the audience to be more productive in the proliferation of these very important ideas. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about John. It's about getting the life-saving information, because it does. If you make that decision to get in the military or to get into $100,000 of debt trying to get an education, you need to hear John in hour four say, a quality education shouldn't cost a dime because you have access to all this stuff for free. You just need to learn how to do it for yourself instead of waiting for a teacher to instruct you. And so once his words start to proliferate the minds of the people who need it, I think that's going to be a beautiful thing, and that's a day where we can rest. But until then, I appreciate your help.
No, I'm on it. And John, you the man. You know, it's always, I've really been inspired by you since, oh God, it must have been 92, 93, you know, and I got it. Yep. One less thing I got to do. But now, you know, it's been a long time, and there has not been a focus on going straight to the very people that are witnessing the abuse in their own lives on a daily basis. There hasn't been a... Where does that come from? We're always going to mom and dad. Hell, mom and dad's the ones that screwed them and put them there. So, I mean, yes, we can get them in, but you know what? They become moms and dads. You know, think about it, John. You know, that's really what you were trying to do and starting with from the beginning, wasn't it? Well, you did inspire a whole bunch of people, and now I'm going to help as much as I can because I understand the value. And Richard and Lisa and I can work together on it.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Okay, we have rescheduled Sarah Sandy. She thought that it was different times. I don't know what the heck. You know, Donna, you know, she's pretty clear on this. 9 to noon Eastern time. So she thinks it's later today, and she's her roommate said, well, she's not here. She thought it was, a later time. So I'm going, all right. So she's working on that. But the... So we'll get her rescheduled and do that, and we have a lot of the information up. But we'll go ahead and just put in the third hour that, you know, just leave that information up there because it's good information on the hyperlinks, and then go ahead and just put that reschedule for whatever day you guys reschedule. So then she can call Richard. You can come back, and I'll let you talk this time. The last couple hours talking with Richard Grove, Tragedy and Hope, and I spent enough time on their sites and some of their watching their videos and stuff that they do. That it is rare that you have a mind such as his that is able to do what he does and has the support of his fiancée and others to do it. And I want to exploit it. One less thing I got to do. Well, it turns into one more thing you got to do. But, you know, the main thing is that I'm looking at an opportunity to really have an impact. I have always focused on the youngins. Keep in mind, I have 4 children. When I first started getting going, I just had my 4th child. Their first memories, you know, I was sitting here watching my computer over there has, and when you go into a saving, you know, it's a Windows screen save mode or whatever, and it just starts rotating graphics or it has some kind of whatever on there. Over there, it just goes through my graphics file. I don't even know how it got that way, but it just, you know, starts throwing up a bunch of old pictures and stuff and everything. And I was looking over, I glanced over there, and I saw a whiteboard chart that I had taken a picture of, because in case somebody wipes off the whiteboard. And it was back when my daughter, Sierra, was probably 2 years ago, when she first started working for me, and we charted, I remember this, I'm going, oh, I forgot all about that. And I was explaining to her, I said, look, while you're here, and you were, because I knew she wasn't going to work for me forever, you know, but she had gotten in a car accident, not real bad, but it messed her up. She couldn't do a lot, but she could do what I needed. And I go, you know, fine, we'll go until you're healed and such. And can buy a car. So what happened was, I put this up there, and what did we do? We graphed out all the things by month for like the next year. I said, this is the goal. I just wanted to say, look, you know, I plan this stuff. It's not like it just happens. I mean, stuff happens, you kind of add it into. But the end goal for this year is this. And I remember that chart, and it goes bling, 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 bling. And I'm going, yeah, we did that. What's at the end of your year? What's on your graph? What are you hoping to accomplish? You know, and it's the one thing that I learned in, you know, you're in management and stuff. You always get the... you know, the time management thing. They call it Swiss cheesing. You know, you're at least doing something. You're multitasking. If I'm sitting on the pot going to the bathroom, I'm brushing my teeth. You know, if I'm in the shower, I'm shaving.
You know, if I'm doing, I mean, I'm multi. I know you're probably saying brushing your teeth is probably not a good place to do that. But the point is that, you know, I'm always multitasking. I hate wasting time. And it's, we're at a time to where, can we multitask fast enough in order to, you know, sidestep what's coming? I got a really good idea a long time ago of what's coming. Now what? So I'm, every time that you see me doing anything, it's going to be in response to integrating that into the now what. So there's the now what right now is the last couple of days, you know, we've been focusing on battery technology, ordering raw materials from China, getting the plexiglass from blah, 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 doing the whatever, having six little different cells that we're experimenting with, because you know why? Am I super smart? Did I do it? You know, I can read a book. You know, I get it. You know, I can do this. So we're going to go ahead and play with that because I think, you know, here we go. You know, okay, cool. Oh, I got to hit the call. All right, and I pushed a button, and then he answers. I'm going to get Richard back on, spend some time with us, because it's always good to, you know, have him on. I got you there, Richard?
You do.
All right, cool. Yeah, it's Sandy. She thought, or Sarah Sandy, she got Eastern and Western mixed up and whatever, and Donna's really good about that, so I don't blame her, so... whatever, we'll get her later, but we'll leave the goodies up there.
It happens. You know, Arizona's tricky because you guys are only on, you know...
same time.
You don't do the daylight saving time.
It is a pain in the butt for radio. Because sometimes we're 2 hours from Eastern, sometimes we're 3 hours. Sometimes we're the same as West Coast, sometimes we're mountain. You know, I mean, it's just... So it's a pain in the butt. But the... so my... You know, I always want to, you know, talk with you as much as I can. But this hour, now that I already invented... You know, then we can go ahead and have you talk about this. But you had a big interest in this Child Protective Service thing, so I can go ahead and leave the links up that we had prepared, because some of them you had sent. So what was your big interest on this? Why did this strike such a chord with you?
Well, I didn't have any personal interest in it until I was listening to the School Sucks podcast with Brett Vinott. And in listening through the various episodes, as he explained his professional experience, I became horrified with his stories of how he as a teacher had to carry basically a tackle box of medications around for these kids. And and in researching, you know, what leads to all this mass drugging, you of course run into Child Protective Services, and then getting into that, I realized, oh, this is just like the Franklin cover-up, this is just like what happened at Penn State. And as far as Penn State, I would never say this normally because I'm not proud of my education. I think I got shafted and I'm still paying for it. But I'm a graduate of Penn State University. I graduated in 97. Graham Spanier is, he's not someone who should be running a university. He's now working for the government. He's being paid as taxpayer, as you had covered. This whole guy who covered it up, Louis Free, if you Google Louis Free plus Opus Dei, you'll see the nature of the people that they send in to cover it up to make sure that you just think it's just happening at Penn State and Happy Valley is just the only place that goes on. But as I sent those clips to Ernie, I was showing CPS has been corrupt, you know, across America, and there's a whole system in place to prey on children. And when you, whether you look at it through Gatto's work or through the eugenics angles or all these other angles, it's all about preying on children. And so I think that we do need to get in touch with, you know, awake and conscious adults and provide them with the information. But we also need to get those adults to put the information in front of their children and grandchildren and cousins and nephews and nieces and what have you, because there's a whole system here of multi-layer. It's total war, like Clausewitz said. It's not just on a battlefield. They're attacking our food and our water and our air and our rights. And, you know, so we just need to really band together and realize, yes, there is something going on. Let's identify it. What is its root cause? What is its weaknesses? And how do we get this information to more people, which is what we talked about in the first 2 hours.
Okay. Now, this is one thing I want to bring up. You kind of struck on it. When you have, you know, like a DARE program or something, you know, they'll come in and say, you know, this is a little Hitler Youth, inform on your parents and you're doing them a favor in the state. And I called DARE and all I got was this T-shirt and my mom and dad in jail or whatever. So when they do this, they always like, you know, you see something, say something. I mean, this whole mentality of a police state surveillance, man, who are the invisible people walking around and hearing everything? It's the kids. You know, you got a little informer, you know, third grader sitting around there somewhere. So this is, and they indoctrinate them into this. It's their surveillance team. It's their system. It's, you know, Lord knows what they're telling them or asking them to do or participating in being a good little drone in the classroom of. I mean, this is where, you know, it's happening, not later. So I'm going, when you give them a number to call, hey, but what about when you're being abused, when you're getting the crap beat out of you, when you're being whatever, call this number. Well, what happens if you set the criteria by which they're being abused is the school itself doing it. Who do they call? Where do they go? How do they fight back? Is mom informed? Or they got a tragedy in Hope Lake on a QR code?
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Wow! 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 I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Wow, I feel not bad. Now we got Richard Grove on, and it's always a good time, and we learn a lot. And, you know, the one thing I wanted to emphasize, you mentioned the Franklin scandal and a bunch of other stuff. We were talking about Penn State. Donna lived in State College. That's where I met her. And she went 4 years to Penn State. So
I went 5 years to University Park. So we can relate to that town.
It was man, I tell you, it was Joe Paterno land. Okay. And right. That, you know, went on for decades and decades. He rode such a high. You know, it's just, yin and yang, man. It had to balance out somehow. Boy, did they get their balance. And this was, so this had a bit, we were, in fact, just 3 weeks ago or something, we were visiting her family in State College while all this was going on. And when I was doing the radio live, Sandusky's trial was going on or just happened, whatever. And I'm going, you know what? We're not going to talk about Penn State today because I'm at my in-law's house and they don't like it too much.
Why is the sky blue and white?
You know, so, yeah. So I am, there's something deeper going on here. Let's talk about that a little bit. As we, my first, I've done a lot of shows on this and done some research and read some stuff and on and on and on, done probably a lot of the similar research that you have. But there is a systemic evil kind of type of person that is in politics. And the more evil you are, the higher up you seem to get. And is it because that type of person seeks power? Or because of what they got on you, it's easier for them to control you by feeding your need for depravity or you not wanting to have it exposed or something. And this Sandusky guy, man, he was just weird. And your point. I mean, so I'm, is that pretty indicative of the kind of people that we're dealing with at higher levels?
Well, what you're seeing is Sandusky's a bottom level guy. And when you look at who employed him, who his lawyer was, who the district attorney was who disappeared during investigation of the case, all these sort of things, to an outsider, someone who didn't go to Penn State, they might seem like anomalies. But when you understand the culture of dominance from the football program and the corporate and government sponsorship of the university with the military projects and a corporate logo on everything that happened kind of during when I was there, you know, it went from it just being Penn State to a swoosh being beside Penn State, and now Nike is mated with Penn State during my time there, and everything, the hockey team had to get all new equipment and everything with Nike swooshes on the gloves and everything. So like you witness this, and I wasn't part of the football culture. Like I went to some games, but I wasn't all rah-rah. I spent most of my time in college working or partying, and I was smart enough that I didn't have to go to class. I could just take the tests and kind of skate through there because I was disappointed. I wanted to go to Princeton or Harvard, and I ended up at University Park, Penn State. So I didn't take it that seriously. And, even though I took the curriculum, I passed the test, I got good grades, those sort of things. I was not prepared by that university for what I encountered in life, which was I bumped up against reality several times before it jarred me awake in such a way that I haven't fallen asleep yet.
So see, you are one of them. I knew it. You know, you're one of them smart. I don't got to study. I get it. It all comes to, you know, I got a son like that. So it's you don't see the world the same as a lot of other people do. You see it I don't know, with a much wider kind of, but you expect everyone to have the same passion that you do for the truth like this. And I'm telling you, a lot of them do. They just beat it out of them. They beat it out of them at a young age.
That's the whole purpose of school, is to beat out the curiosity. Because, you know, if when you take a child who's 4 or 5 years old and you put them in a natural environment, they're outside, they're playing, they're learning, they're talking to their grandparents. They haven't been alienated and given labels like adolescent or teenager or any of these things that cut us off from the natural stream of wisdom of our elders. Right. That's what the whole indoctrination process is about, is amputating that curiosity. And what is curiosity? It's the terrible twos. Why? What? You know, asking all these questions, you know, and you run out of answers. I don't know why the sky's blue. Some sort of vibrational thing with the light as we see it through our, you know, the electromagnetic spectrum of our eyes. Right. So like, kids will run you to the end of your reality at a very young age. And they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. They don't just have to stop certain ones of us. They have to stop everybody uniformly. They can't take a chance on any of us breaking through with our curiosity intact. Fortunately for me, most of the time as a child, my parents worked shifts at work, so they were working odd times of the day. I was having relatives babysit for me, right? And my relatives were older. They were grandparents, great aunts, and they had encyclopedias. So anytime I wanted to know something, they would send me to the books. I would spend my day reading through books about my fears. At a very young age, I was scared of vampires. So I researched Dracula and vampires. I was kind of had a thing for snakes. I wanted to know all about snakes. But then, you know, because I'm in the woods growing up in Western Pennsylvania, I encounter snakes all the time. I had that information, and now I can pick up snakes, and it's not a big deal. I understand them. And so it was a process very early on of removing my own fears. And I think that's how I kind of escaped the indoctrination system, because A, I had a lot of knowledge that was kind of ahead of what they were teaching kids my age, because I had a natural curiosity that always remained. They never quite put that fire out. I never quite bought into authority. I was always very skeptical, but I was smart enough where they just kept sending me on and putting me in a gifted program or any of this other stuff that they try to indoctrinate you with. What did I come out with? I came out through college I knew I had to work to pay for my life. I was self-reliant, self-sufficient. I started my own business, and that's how I got a job in corporate sales. In a very high-paying position, because what I had learned and taught myself was not something that they teach in any university. There's no degrees on sales, and yet every company's based around sales, right? So why is that occulted information? Because it teaches you how to use language and how to use neuro-linguistic programming and how to get what you want out of people. But they don't give you the morals or ethics or objective perspective so that you know when to stop with that. And some people don't know when to stop. Like, I stopped when I was like, well, you guys are ripping a bunch of people off and you're basically asking me to lie to clients, and I do all my business on integrity. So I have a couple questions here. And they're like, you're not one of us. Get out of here.
Right.
And they didn't say it like that. They said, you're fired. You know, and after being fired a couple times, I was like, whoa, what is going on here? Because I went from one corrupt organization to a more corrupt organization that was selling software that was supposed to prevent the corruption of Enron and Tyco, and they're really enabling it. And that's the origin of the whole financial collapse we're experiencing now, is because not enough people knew back then what was happening, and they got into it.
Well, it's regulatory capture. I mean, you go, it's just like a government. They go, we need this office, this regulation, this agency to prevent, and hell, they're the ones that do it.
So I don't think you know about this. I did an interview with Patrick Byrne, who's the CEO of Overstock.
I've had him on the show. I really like him.
He did a whole lecture on deep capture. I interviewed him with Jon Ervin, and he was groomed by Jack Welch and Warren Buffett. Like, he was sent to the same school, I believe, as Timothy Geithner, right? So, you know, Patrick Byrne is a very educated, smart CEO, and yet he's getting taken advantage of with the naked short selling and all the undermining of his stock and the integrity of his company by illicit means. So I found it fascinating. So here's a guy who's very successful, probably doesn't have a care in the world, and yet he's recognizing the same thing that I had recognized several years earlier.
When we come back, we'll talk about, I got a Patrick Byrne story that dovetails into what we're talking about, because off air we had a nice conversation, and I really wanted to understand what his now what was. He has a now what. I'll share it with you when we come back in just a little bit here on Declare Your Independence.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
William Wallace, you stand in taint of high treason.
Against whom?
Against your king. Have you anything to say?
Never in my whole life did I swear allegiance to him?
It matters not. He is your king. Confess, and you may receive a quick death. Deny, and you must be purified by pain. Do you confess? Do you confess? Then on the morrow you shall receive your purification.
Yep, because it matters not. He is your king. Well, I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is how do they get to indoctrinate you into who your king is? You know, well, at least in this country, they'll go, oh, no, 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 we don't have a king. No, 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 no. You know, there's nobody to take out. There's nobody to oppose. There's nobody. Your allegiance is to a flag. Got a flag. So this is just, I you know, it's the same thing. So Patrick Byrne, we're talking about him. He's CEO of Overstock, right, Richard? Isn't that what he is?
That is correct.
Make sure I got the right guy. And, you know, Patrick, we had a very interesting conversation, and it's a good show to go listen to. And during the breaks and so on, we're talking, and at the end of the show, we were yakking, and I asked him, now what? And I'm going, man, what's your focus? I mean, you know what's going on. Now what? And he goes, education. Got to get the kids out, man. We got to provide alternative. We got to get, you know, kids, young kid, little kids. And I'm going, right freaking on. So what happens if he's already probably had a good experience with Richard, and we kind of go, you know, remember what you're doing and talking about and doing kind of, you know, whatever, you know, Richard, and, you know, you willing to, you know, be part of this and maybe buy a couple of doors worth of QR stickers, you know what I mean? Maybe I am. You know, what would you like included for you to be in participation of and on the page that it lands and what program you got going, kind of whatever? There's your reason to call Patrick, Richard. Give him a call. Let him know that we're working on something like that. You know, I think he might add his distinctiveness. You know what I mean?
He might. He just might.
I would be surprised if he didn't. So let's go ahead. You know, we kind of, you know, have the same. I tell you what, if you go to Freedom's Phoenix, I have my, let's do this. I want the audience to do this too. You guys, I want to make sure you realize how much resource I make available to everyone, because there is nothing that I do that I don't make it available to everybody. Okay. Cause that's just, you know, how I roll. Now go to today's show and you'll see on there, you know, my computer locked up, but you go to today's show. And it has, at the top of it, you'll see it says archives. We got, what the heck is wrong with my computer? Anyway, I'll do it on this one. Yeah, I can do this anyway. This is better, so I can show everybody what I am doing right here on the screen. Here we go. So you go to Freedom's Phoenix, the front page, and you'll see at the top left, it says radio, magazine, TV, and red underneath the bird logo there. You go down to Declare Your Independence Radio. Now, in there, it'll have, you can listen to all the shows by select the year. You know, it goes 2001 to now, and you can, it says, right below that, it says topics of this radio TV show guest. If I click on topics, what it does is it goes to all the topics that we've had, and it's just from A to Z of, you know, whatever. So you get down to education or something like that, and you can click in there, or economics or whatever, or you can go by the people. So I go in, I say, all right, let's go back. Let's go by list of, we'll go back and we'll go guests. Well, you look for Patrick Byrne and you'll have that one. But also, when you go back in above that in the red, it says, listen to Ernest Hancock's Phoenix Broadcast Show archives for 2003 to 2008. This is when I was broadcasting live here in the Valley. And, you know, the old show before I started Freedom's Phoenix and bringing it over to there. So I go, all right, the same thing. You can get there and you can search by guest and by topic. Now, in there, it has a lot of the guests that we did. If we go back to the 2003-2008, and you go in there and it'll say shows by guest. You see all these names. If you go through there, you'll start to see a whole bunch of people, Richard, I guarantee that you've talked to, okay? You click into the different people, and it, a lot of times I have, you know, contact information for them on here. So, and the reason was, is because back then I was the only libertarian on the radio, and getting these kinds of guests, other people didn't do. And I wanted the other talk show hosts around the country and other libertarians and other people in the future even to be able to have access and emails and whatever to get hold of these people so they could go, you know, and spread the message. Well, who are these people? Well, it was the Lou Rockwells and the Walter Blocks and the Bumper Hornbergers and Ron Pauls and Butler Schaefers and all that, way before they were famous, way before everybody and their grandma wanted to talk to them, because I knew these people, like Richard Grove. So when people go in and they try and go, you know, here's how I get a hold of Richard Grove. Here's how, you know, this is how this happens. So this resource in both of the new and the old archive, as not only are a lot of people that you and I have both, you know, shared with, but more that, you know, you can access for the future, wealth of information. Now, what we have overlapped in talking with Patrick Byrne, I would be interested, what were you talking to him about?
Well, we were, it was myself and my colleague and good friend Jan Irvin from Gnostic Media, and in tandem between Jan's interviewing skills and my context of Patrick's situation, we did one heck of an interview, which I published as Peace Revolution Episode 5, Overstocked, which describes how the financial rackets that we think are the New York Stock Exchange and markets, etc., are actually being run from the perspective of a Ivy League level CEO and someone who was groomed by Warren Buffett and Jack Welch. And Patrick's father is John Byrne, Jack Byrne. And he was I think he still is, maybe now, because they brought him back. He was the CEO of Geico for years. So that's the government employee insurance company, Geico. So Patrick had quite an upbringing with his father hanging around with some of the intelligentsia of the financial elite. And then he grows up to be the CEO of his own very successful internet company, and then finds that his stocks are being naked short sold all over the world. And it's the same people who are creating the derivatives out of thin air. So we had a great conversation. He was familiar with my whistleblowing. He had done his homework and figured out who I was. And so it was a great conversation because we were able to speak to each other as peers, having common experiences, describing the same mountain from, you know, the, you know, different sides. But we could make out that there's a mountain here, that there's definitely a top to it. You can figure out what's going on, and you can learn your way out of these frauds. I mean, if the people, you know, that I was trying to communicate with in 2003 would have had the information, you know, by Frontline or PBS or any of these places that puts out so-called news, then Bernie Madoff would have had no victims, no prey. Nobody would have lost any money, because you would have known from the get-go that the evidence, like the jig is up. They racketeered Enron and Tyco, and then they brought attention to it, brought in legislation, and that allowed them, with that legislation, Sarbanes-Oxley in 2002, to create the biggest financial fraud and scheme that's still in progress right now, because nobody has caught these guys yet.
Okay, let me disagree with you right there, and you'll understand my point. I guarantee that right now there is the next Madoff. I guarantee that right now there's another Enron. I guarantee that right now there's another derivative, De La whatever.
Why?
And everybody knows. Because it doesn't matter if they know or not. They're in the seats of power, and generation after generation has given allegiance to them, and we have allowed ourselves to be socially and economically engineered because we don't see other options from birth.
This and when we get other options, that gives us back our choice, and we can withdraw our voluntary consent. And
whoa,
I agree with everything you're saying. We're talking
for
about
you,
thing.
But I give you an example. Let me give you an example. My sons, all my kids, they work for whatever. I mean, they went to school part time. They're still going to school. They're doing their just now. You know, they're probably 2-3 extra years of before they get their degrees because they're like working. All right. As they're going through this process, they go into the big corporation and they say, you need to make a decision on these little lines. Do you or do you not want this profit-sharing thing, this 401k here, this IRA that goes there? They go through and they make decisions based on what? All right? Well, what dad told them, what the schools told them, what? You know, when we come back, we'll talk about this thought process of how you create drones from informed people.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Richard Grove from TragedyandHope.com, a wealth of information. Now, this is the one point that I wanted to make as we went through talking to Patrick Byrne and about people not making the same bad choices on a lot of things that, you know, we're all exposed to. And I'm going, I don't think that's true because I see it too many times. I mean, I brought up my children to understand every single form they filled out, every, job application, when they got hiring pack of how we even, our restaurant, we hired a lot of people. My kids knew how to fill out. I made sure that they did. Look, these are the forms that you do. This is what an I-9 is. This is a W-4. This is what here it is. Check out boxes. Make sure you do this. Fill it out complete. No abbreviations. Make sure you, this is how this works. So they go in, they get hired, different jobs, and so on. They figured out that I was paying slave wages, and they were worth 2-3 times what I was paying them, and then that was time to sell the restaurant. So what they did is they go, after high school, they go and they, started on the low end, learning machine, going up, going to school, and all of a sudden now we got engineers that actually worked on the machines. Yay. How many times does that happen? So as they're going through this, I'm going to, how much money are you putting in? How much? They matched this and they did this and the 401 that and I are kind of doing stock purchase. I'm going, seriously, you haven't been listening? Seriously. So what happened was, as time went on, eventually they did. They, cashed out as much as they could, which by then was only a few thousand dollars or something like that. But they went and they bought silver. But there's so much economic and social engineering that goes on by the choices they make available. They'll go, look, we're going to tax this much. We're going to, take this much. We're going to match this much. We're going to whatever to get you to make choices that you know to be bad. And they don't even give you a choice out of your paycheck. The fact that you're working for anybody else, get this training and so on. We're going to take X amount and we're going to put it in the Social Security fund. And we promise, pinky swear, we're going to give it to you someday, maybe. So I'm like, even though they know they still are limited in their choices. And that's what the whole, after you go the trilogy of the Matrix, you get to the end, then you find out, what is it? It's choice. That's what they have. They got to give you the illusion of choice. You have a choice. You may choose from communist candidate A or fascist candidate B. As long as you get a illusion of choice, all of a sudden they're feeling like, okay, they're good. But do they ever give them the choice of either or not making the choice, not picking one of their options, making your own, going off? No. When I started my first businesses and everything, I mean, if you follow everything to the letter, it's like, man, you might as well not even start. So I'm going, okay, there is a mechanism by which we can free ourselves. And it's not just by, knowing all the choices they're not giving us. It's by not putting us in a position to where we have to ask permission or, look for the choices they're going to give us. And that starts very, 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 very early on. And don't think that my children weren't exposed to this concept. But it took them a couple of years and me hammering on them nicely. You push too much, they just push back. So you got to go, well, did you do this? Okay, whatever. And as time goes on, finally they start, having children, they're starting to see, they're going, okay, so they started making other choices, but they're still taking the money out. They're still doing whatever they're doing. They're still having to go back and, take loans on their own retirement, day law, whatever the hell, to put the cash into some precious metals. They're still having, how many people are that smart or that, intuitive or that informed? Well, that's what Richard's talking about. They need to be informed to make these correct choices. But I'm saying that they have set the game so much that you are limited in the choices you can even take. You understand my point, Richard?
I totally understand your point. Your point is freedom from illusion. It's independence from illusion. That's what's keeping everybody down. If I had to give you a slightly longer explanation, I'd say peacerevolution.org, episode 23, How to Free Your Mind. This is the essence of how they control the... Look, you can teach your kids all you want, but they're going to go out into the world and be surrounded by people of the opposite mentality, because the prevailing mentality is against the survival of the individual. It has nothing to do with the morals or ethics that we're brought up with in our own households, and it has to do with the corporate philosophy, the government philosophy, the economic philosophy, and it's all the same philosophy. They have the gold, so they rule. They are the people who are in control. personally, I like to invest in books because when the electricity goes out or things fall apart, books go up in value. They're tradable. You can read them. You can memorize them. You can give them away. You can trade. You know, so there's all these other options aside from precious metals. But those are all good options. I mean, you need your food. You need to be prepared. You need to be able to defend yourself and your family. You need to have property that you're not poisoning with chemical, grow your lawn like the British Empire wants you. And you need to start growing food all over the place. And that makes people not panic so much when they take away the artificial terrarium structure that they are doing with Agenda 21.
Agreed. Now what? Now that's why that's now
what? Get more people to understand. Now what? We got to get back to who's the target audience?
No,
not just the people who can take action, but getting the message in front of the people who are being adversely affected and are young enough to realize that they can still change things.
And that's what I want for. But I'm just saying that is some of the now what's. You know, you grow in food. You know, we really, if you look at last August, a year ago's edition of Freedom's Phoenix, you'll see what our yard looked like. I mean, man, we went to town because it wasn't so much that my time is better spent not farming right now, but I sure as heck knew I needed to have the information. I needed to have the seeds. I needed to have how fast it grows. How much water do we need to have? We went through this
document. You shared that information with other people in the form of your magazine, which is an invaluable archive because you're teaching. You're teaching that the answer to what next or how, what do we do now? You're doing it. You're living it with Donna every day. You are being the solution. So you should take a little pressure off yourself. Don't stop what you're doing. I'm just saying, know that what you're doing is being successful, and it's going to be recognized in a wider fashion.
And we're going to the next thing. I mean, okay, got that. It's all done. And those PDF, those files, you know, I can take all the magazines, put them on one CD, and, you know, download into your smartphone, your tablet. You know, I got that, my Motorola Zoom tablet, like the week it came out. I mean, we were like, man, I'm going to hit this hard. We're not going to let this pass by. Not a freaking day goes by that I'm not worried about. Man, it has this available. We got to hurry up and get it in going now. So then I'm going, okay, how do I use this? Well, we've been doing it. So the next thing is, you know, maybe not this edition of the magazine, but the next edition, this edition, you know, kind of now I'll talk about it a little bit, you know, write the articles and put some of the links on. But the big thing that I'm working on is for the next edition, this power thing. I can see this whole thing, everything is just to get us on their system. What does their system consist of? Whatever makes them money, gives them power and control over you. What is that? Food, shelter, energy, all the basic fundamental. We are livestock. And they realize that capitalism or any kind of a free market made you free range. You were healthier. You're better. You kind of regulated yourselves. You went out and you lived where you wanted. You did what work you wanted. But in the end, they always got their cut. They got their cut in the form of income tax, got their cut in the form of sales tax, got their cut in the form of property tax, got their cut in the form of your Social Security, you know, conning you out of your future. They got their cut in the form of, you know, whatever you got you to pay in to educate your kids to make sure that they're educated, to make sure that they know that they're supposed to give the man their cut. I mean, you know, this whole thing is focused on them getting their cut. They're a gang with a flag. It's no more complicated than that. And the way that we get away from that is start to extract ourselves from the system. How do you do that? Every way. And the first
thing, you got to recognize the system in all its aspects in order to be able to
recognize bad guys.
Yourself.
Bad guys don't get to do what I want to do. Who's going to tell me? There are those who just want to be left alone. Those won't leave them alone. Boom, done. I'm finished. I get it. Done. Bumper sticker done. Can't make it a bumper sticker. You're just babbling. Okay, but I support what you're doing and I understand what you're saying. But I'm into this getting off the grid thing. And it says, you know, that's why we did the dome for the geodesic dome that we built to take up the poor. We'll take it up the Jackalope Festival and everything. Just as a demonstration, I go, heck, man, I used a half-inch conduit for electrical conduit to build this thing for $160. I go, what happens if I use the top of chain-link fences and big, giant, hell, I could make it, you know, a 5,000-square-foot house for a few thousand dollars. I win. Now what? You know, this, but then they got the property. Oh, here comes the taxes. Here comes the regulation. Here comes the building code. We have to shed ourselves of this system. And the only way that we can do that is grow up knowing that it's bad and that we can extract ourselves from it and be better human beings with the information that tragedyandhope.com will give you to extract yourself and give you the ammunition to share it with other people of why it's so essential. And that we're up against a small, itty-bitty, as Larkin Rose would say, a dot. Itty-bitty, baby, little kind of, even all their enforcers, all the guys with the guns, the military, everything, a little bitty dot. And then there's us. Well, as soon as we understand that it's just a dot and there's a whole bunch of us, and we just, you know, I break with thee, I break with thee, I break with thee, and you throw dog poop on their shoes, and then you go be free. That's it. Is it serious? Is that all it takes? Yep. Manamana. We're going to go ahead and we'll have another great show for you tomorrow. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember I was looking forward to it, and I can't remember what it was. What, who is it? Terry Bressey, Checkpoint USA, won $200,000 from the man.